Blog Talk Radio.
God bless all my brothers and sisters on this October the 2nd, 2016, on this wonderful Lord's Day. I welcome you to the Wolf Tracker University broadcast, where I, your humble servant, your brother, your watchman on the wall, if you will, am in studio once again to just share with you the burden that the Lord has placed in my heart. And as every watchman, you know, a watchman is a person whom God places a burden on their heart for the people. And I know that on a day like today, the Lord's Day, where we're supposed to be lifting up Jesus. Because folks, when people go to church on Sunday, the preacher's number one responsibility is to lift up Jesus. to lift them up and to lift up nothing else but Jesus. To preach Jesus and everything else down. You don't go to church so that the preacher can talk about himself, can talk about his vision, can talk about his exploits, his anointing. No, if you go to church and you're listening to a man or a woman talk about their vision, talk about their anointing, talk about their calling, you, my brothers and sisters, are looking at a human idol. The role of each preacher, like John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And when John was asked, aren't you upset because Jesus is gaining in followers? He said, no, I must decrease and he must increase. And every true preacher is like John the Baptist. I must decrease. Every time I get into the pulpit, I have to make sure that I increase Jesus and decrease myself. And the people who have a tendency of increasing the preacher have to be rebuffed by the preacher. The preacher has to remind them that Christ must increase and he must decrease. This is why we call this day the Lord's Day. It's not the bishop's day. It's not the pastor's day. It's not the prophet's day. It's the Lord's day. John in Revelation chapter 1 says, I was on the Isle of Patmos, and on the Lord's day. That's what John the apostle said. On the Lord's day, he saw a vision. So today's the Lord's day. In name only, because when you go to church today, it's not about the Lord. Today is really money day. Money day. Because even, you know what's going to be emphasized today more than even the preacher? You know what's being emphasized today even more than the preacher's calling or the preacher's vision or the preacher's anointing? You know what's being emphasized today? Money. Today is really money day. Money day. And preachers just can't wait for today. Because people come in, sit down, and it gives them a golden opportunity to fleece the flock. To fleece the flock. Dr. Elijah Coles, who wrote the First Fruit She Wolf trilogy, has written an outstanding chapter. In my opinion, no one has explained fleecing. No one has explained fleecing better than Dr. Elijah Coles. And in his book, First Fruits Fleecer, in the third chapter of that second book in the trilogy, he writes, the title of that chapter is Wolves Fleece Other People's Sheep. Wolves Fleece Other People's Sheep. And like I said, I've heard a lot of people define the word fleecing, but no one, in my opinion, has come close to defining it the way that Elisha Coles did in this third chapter of the book he wrote on Paula White, First Fruits Fleecer. And that's exactly what's going on today, folks. People are going to be fleeced. Fleeced. And just to make plain, just to give you a synopsis of what Dr. Elijah Coles wrote in that chapter, basically he says that every true pastor has the right to shear the flock, to shear sheep. Shepherds shear. S-H-E-A-R. Shepherds are permitted by natural law to shear their sheep. But fleecing is different from shearing, as he explains. Fleecing is what he calls serial shearing. serial shearing. You know, like you have a serial killer and you have people who just are serial liars. A serial killer is a person who can't stop killing. A serial liar is a can't stop telling lies. And a serial shearer is a fleecer. Because he explains that according to nature, there is no shepherd of real sheep that shears their sheep every week. He explains that in that chapter. Because if he sheared his sheep every week, they would die. They would die. The weather, the elements. And that's why God gave sheep their wool. He gave them their wool to protect them from, it's like their clothing. Can you go outside every single day without clothing? I mean, you would be arrested for nudity. You would be arrested for what is called flashing. But you're not going to go out in the snow. You're not going to go out in the snow with no socks on, no boots, no long johns, no pants, no turtleneck, no wool shirt, no coat on, no earmuffs, no gloves. You're not going out like that. You're going to get a pneumonia. And even in the summertime, people get colds in the summertime. You have a sudden fluctuation in the weather, and you're not properly dressed, and what happens? You get sick. You get the sniffles in the summer. Well, God gave sheep their wool. And as Dr. Colt explained in his book, real shepherds shear their flocks once a year. To shear them more than that is to expose your flock to danger. You're going to wipe out your herd. You're going to wipe out your flock of sheep if you try taking the razor to them every week. So what's going on today? Well, you have serial shearing. You were sheared last week, and you were sheared this week, and you're going to be sheared next week. And all of those times that you get sheared, when you add them all up, that is called fleecing. That is called fleecing. And any flock that is fleeced is bound to be destroyed. So, saints, we've been contemplating this whole notion about why is it that when you and I go to church now, why is it that when we go to church, the sermon is always about money? Listen, you can't get around it. Each sermon is about money. Each seminar is about money. Each announcement. You listen to the announcements on Sunday. I did a survey recently in preparing for this study. I was watching some churches live stream on Sunday morning. Even in their announcements, they're promoting activities and events where people have to buy tickets. And these are fundraisers now. The churches are coming up with fundraisers. So in the announcements portion of the service, where they used to talk about who was sick, who needed prayer, who needed to be visited, who was in the hospital, who had lost a loved one. During the period of announcements, which used to be a period in which the church used to be informed about the goings-on among the church members, now they use that time, the announcement time, is to remind you of the First Lady's banquet. Don't forget to get the tickets. Now it's about the pastor's anniversary. Don't forget to get the tickets. It's about a trip to some shopping center, and factored in the price in the trip, they already got covered the what's going to cost you to travel there, but also they are asking in the fee to go on this trip, they're asking for a certain amount for which it would be used as a fundraiser for the church. Well, with all of these fundraisers, you would think the church is rich. But the church is not rich because all of these fundraisers are to feather the nest of the pastor, the first lady, and the first family. These are all fundraisers that just flow up. Person sitting on the throne, if you will. So in the announcements, it's all about the fundraisers. And also in the announcements about don't forget to get this ministry product. Don't forget to get your DVD at the end of the service. Don't forget. So they're just using all of this time to see how much money they can get from you in one service. I kid you not. I was at a church where they collected three offerings in one service. Three offerings. The first offering was the tithes and offerings. They sent the basket around for that. Then the second offering, the second time they passed the plate around, was for the building fund. I kid you not. Then the third time they passed the plate around was for the media ministry offering to keep the pastor on the radio. So they got tithes and offerings. They got that. Then they reminded the people about the building fund and how we need to build and how God has given the pastor a wonderful vision. And the plate went around and there were certain envelopes for the building fund. And by the way, at this particular church service, they made people, in fact, the plate did not go around. There were ushers standing in the front of the church, and this was a mega church. And I actually saw the people get up three times because they make you get up. This way they can see who's sitting down and not giving the offering. That's one of the techniques. So I saw the first group come around, and they gave the tithes and the offerings. And that was the first one. And then I saw them get up again, and they came around for the building fund, and they sat down. And then after what they called the preaching of the word on that day, then the people got up again, and they were reminded that the pastor's on radio, and they need to support the radio ministry, and now it's time to give the media ministry offering. Well, by the time you finish going to that church, you're broke. You're broke. And that was the first service, because that church had three services. So and I can tell you that it was not a well-to-do community that was being asked to do this. So when you go to church today, it's not the Lord's Day anymore. It's Mammon Day. It's Mammon's Day. The God is Mammon. The God is money. And everything centers around, focuses on the accumulation of money. And this is why when you go to church today, that's all you're going to hear from the beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end, you're just going to hear about money. That's their one mantra, money. Money, 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 money. Everything, like all roads lead to Rome. Well, in the church, all words lead to money. All words lead to money. That's the bottom line, like on a day like today, when people are spiritually hurting, they're spiritually famished, they're starving for the word. When you go to church today, instead of hearing about how great the Lord Jesus is and what he can do for you now, and how he will do it for you for free. Instead of hearing about the majesty of Christ and the goodness of the Father and how the Heavenly Father is our provider. For the book of Hebrews says, God speaking to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The word leave in Greek is one and forsake is another. It's a very interesting text, that Hebrews 13 text. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you think that leaving and forsaking is one and the same. No, 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 no. There's depths to those words. And God promises. He promises. No matter what these wolves tell you, he promises us in his word. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's his pledge to his children. Jesus said, ask the Father and you shall receive. Seek out the Father and you shall find. Knock on the Father's door and it shall be opened unto you. You try knocking on your pastor's door after today's sermon and you'll see, oh, he's not available. These highfalutin, high-nosed pastors, when you're not, he's not available. He's got bodyguards in the hallway. Blocking for you. You can't even knock on the door. Oh, I would like to speak to the pastor for a minute. No, he's not available. He's stressed. He had a stress, you know, he just finished preaching. He's stressed out. He's stressed out. Yet for the pastor's anniversary, they want you to buy a $250 ticket for a chicken cordon bleu dinner that you can go to Olive Garden and pay $20 for. And look, and that's with all the trimmings. That's chicken cordon bleu with some other addeds. You're paying $20 at the Olive Garden. And the service is even better. But yet they want you to buy a ticket for $250, which means your pastor's probably, you know, the place where the event is being held, the venue, the catering hall, is probably charging $50 a plate. That's what your pastor has to pay. So your pastor is pocketing $200 off of each person who bought a ticket. In addition to that, he's king of the hill. He's sitting on the pile of cash because the church is his personal ATM machine. There's no financial accountability. The Bible says in the book of Acts that when people gave offerings, you read Acts chapter 4 and you read Acts chapter 5, they laid the money at the apostles' feet. Plural. Which means that there were 12 men responsible, 12 credible men who were transparent. They didn't lay the money at the apostles' feet, singular. They didn't lay the money at Peter's feet, singular. No. They laid the money at the apostles' feet. And if you read the book of Acts, the early chapters, you will know that the apostles had already had elders. The elders were the ones handling the money. You read Acts chapter 6. The apostle said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We don't want to do accounting. We don't want to count shekels. We don't want to fill out bank deposits. We don't want to go run to the bank and make the deposit. We don't want to handle money. The apostles were saying, we want to handle prayer and we want to handle the word. You find yourself somebody who can handle the shekels and count the money and make the deposits and take care of business. We're going to spend time before God in prayer, and we're going to spend time in God's word, and that's what we are called to do. Today, the pastor is not only is he the CEO of the corporation, but he's also the CFO. Not only is he the chief executive officer, but he's also the chief financial officer. So you're going to church today most likely to get fleeced. You're going to church today to get scammed. It's about money. Sadly, it's about money. But you know, this is nothing new. Beloved saints, this is nothing new. This happens in the Old Testament. This happened in the New Testament. This is nothing new about shepherds living high on the hog. This is nothing new. We've always had real shepherds, and we've always had false shepherds. Jesus called them hirelings. They're there for the hire. They're there for the shekels. They're there for the money. A hireling is a person who just is interested in salary. What's my salary? What's my package? Do I get a parsonage? Do I get a leased car? Do I get a month's vacation? Who starts off on a job? Who starts in America? Who starts off on a job and you start out with a month's vacation? Who? Who? And a great many of the church members, they get vacation, but many of them are working their vacation because they can't afford to go on vacation. Why can't they afford to go on vacation? Well, because they're giving three offerings in a service. It's like Paula White. You think Paula White's members get to go on vacation? You think those poor people, after what Paula does to them, you think they get to go on vacation? No. But she's posting on her Instagram, because I get emails all the time. Brother Wolf Tracker, look, Paula's in London. Look at this picture of Paula. And I don't even care about Paula White anymore. I mean, by the grace of God, we brought her down. Paula White is nothing. We exposed her. We thoroughly exposed her. Paula White's not even worth talking about anymore. But I'm bringing it up because some of her people, they can't go on vacation. Meanwhile, I got an email this week. Look, Paula White's in London, and they sent me the picture. She's on a tour bus in London, and Big Ben is behind her. And this is every week Paula White is posting. She's rubbing it in her people's face that she is a globetrotter. You know how that ends? You throw her out of the church. You throw her out on her rump. You take all of her garbage, you take her green room and all of her costumes, and you throw all that into the street and you say, beat it, lady. Yeah, she's living large. She's living large. And why? Because they fleece the flock. They fleece the flock. You don't think Creflo Dollar fleeces his flock? You don't think Benny Hinn fleeces his flock? You don't think Kenneth Copeland fleeces his flock? You don't think even Jimmy Swaggart? You think Jimmy Swaggart is clean? No, he's just as guilty. And Jimmy Swaggart and his son are always blasting prosperity preachers. But every time you watch Jimmy Swaggart, you watch a broadcast, he's always peddling something. He wants your money. He wants you to buy his Bible, or he wants you to buy his commentaries, which he plagiarized. Stole the material from somebody else. Jimmy Swaggart didn't write those commentaries. He's a country bumpkin. He's got no education. He's a country bumpkin. You listen to Jimmy Swaggart preach, and then you read the commentaries, and you see that in the commentaries there's an extensive vocabulary which he never uses. That's the first sign of plagiarism. You listen to somebody preach, you study their sermons, and then you go to their writings and you just, oh, this is a ghostwriter. Or he lifted this from somebody else. And sure enough, he's been caught numerous times stealing stuff from people. And it's those commentaries and his Jimmy Swaggart Bible and his music and all, he's always peddling it and making deals. You can get this, you can get this at 50% off. I wouldn't buy it if you gave it to me for 99% off. I wouldn't even take it if you gave it to me free. And folks, listen, I understand that there's ministry cost. I understand that. I understand that there's ministry cost. You know how much it costs to produce a DVD? Do you know how much it costs? When you buy DVDs, blank DVDs in bulk, blank DVDs or blank CDs in bulk come out to 5 cents each. 5 cents if you buy them in bulk. A DVD, a blank CD or blank, it costs 5 cents. The ink and the label will cost you another 20 cents. You can mass produce them. They have these machines where you can mass produce DVDs fast. Fast. Doesn't take much. The production, the cost of the materials, the machine, listen, you're talking pennies. Pennies. So let's round it off. Let's just say that a DVD costs a dollar to make, which it doesn't. It'll cost you like 40 cents. But let's just round it off. So you're making a $9 profit. And by the way, when you go to most of these churches, they don't even give you a DVD in a plastic case, which will just cost you another 10 cents. Will only cost you a 10 cents. But these guys are so cheap, they give it to you in one of those paper envelopes for DVDs, and those are a penny each. They won't even splurge the 9 cents. They won't even give you the 9 cents. The extra 9 cents to protect the DVD. They give you an envelope, which costs a penny. So they're making a killing. Now, remember, these people are buying all of that equipment. They're buying all of those DVDs. They're buying all of that with your tithes and offerings. The pastor buys all that stuff with your tithes and offerings. Then he turns around and sells you a DVD for $10 that it cost them a dollar to make. So they are fleecing you. They don't even say, okay, saints, you gave to the Lord, go back and get your free DVD. You would think that if you were a faithful and regular contributor to the work of the Lord, you would think that you can go to the back table and get the morning sermon for 50 cents. Because that's what it costs to produce 50 cents, folks, 50 cents. You would think that they would, if you gave them $40 in tithe that day, that Sunday, you would think that you can go to the back table and get a DVD that cost them 50 cents to make. You would think you can get that for free. But no, they have to charge you $10. And all of that is with your money. They're running that empire on your money. So today is the Lord's Day for some of us, and today is Mammon Day for a great many others. I want you to open your Bible to Ezekiel 34, and while you're turning there, I'm going to pull up the audio Bible version of Ezekiel 34. We want to start reading at verse 10, Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel 34, verse 1. I apologize. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And we're going to read up to verse number 10. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10. All right. I'm going to play the audio and we're going to have the Bible read to us. Now, this portion is Ezekiel's word from the Lord against fat shepherds. Shepherds who get fat off the flocks. They do little for the flocks. They do practically nothing for the flocks. Yet they abuse the flocks. They exploit the flocks, and in so doing, the flocks become diminished, and they get fatter. This is Ezekiel's word of the Lord for shepherds in every generation.
Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them,
Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them.
In other words, God is saying the party will soon be over. The party will soon be over. Because God always brings about a revival. When shepherds are abusing his flocks, when people are literally getting away with spiritual murder, when they are destroying souls, when they are collecting three and four. I was at one service, where they collected four offerings. I was appalled. I said, I'll never come back to this place. And it was the service, I kid you not. After they collected the tithes and offerings, after they collected the building fund, after they collected the media ministry offering, then they collected an offering for the guest speaker. Four offerings in one service. God's going to put an end to this. People are leaving churches in droves. And they're leaving mainly because of the financial abuse. And secondly, because of the spiritual abuse. First, the financial abuse. It's gotten out of hand. These guys are serial shearers. And you can't shear the flock repeatedly over and over and over and over again and think you're going to have a healthy flock. You're going to decimate the flock. You're going to destroy the flock. And as Ezekiel said, as he wrote down, as God was speaking, God says, I will require my flock from your hands. In other words, God is going to want accountability. For every person you fleeced ad infinitum, God's going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold your feet to the fire. And I believe that God very quietly is raising up shepherds today, raising up men and women, to preach the unadulterated word of God. When I get into a pulpit, the last time I got into a pulpit was to do an ordination service. And the people just afterwards, I was mobbed. I never heard of such a thing. This was so powerful. This was so concise. This ordination service didn't take 4 hours. The word was powerful. The word was clear. You debunked all of these different myths, and God showed up to this service. And by the way, at that service, one of my criterias for preaching at that service was you're not collecting any offerings. We don't collect offerings at ordinations. You want me to preach this ordination? No offerings. And they didn't. And the people were asking. I got letters. I got calls afterwards. And the organizer of the ordination said to me, what blew the people away the most was there was no offering. Why do we have to collect an offering at every service? Why? They collect an offering at the prayer service. They collect. I mean, they're constantly. I mean, not only did they do they rip you off 4 times on Sunday, but throughout the week, you gather and they're asking you for money again. Doesn't my tithes and offerings take care of that? Shouldn't the tithes and offerings take care of the prayer meeting? No. And the people leave. Nobody goes after them to find out why they left. The people are sick. As the prophet says in recording God's word, my sheep's limbs were broken, you didn't mend them. My sheep were hurting, my sheep were sick. My sheep went astray, you didn't go after them. You exposed them to predators. You exposed my sheep to predators. And right now as we speak, look folks, it's only 11:12 in the morning here on the East Coast. It's 11:12 in the morning. Right about now, they're conducting some Sunday morning stick-ups right now as we're speaking. In every sermon, in every teaching, in every announcement, all lead back to money. Here's a song that I want to play. One of my faithful listeners, one of our faithful listeners, sent me this song, and I want to play this. It's by Jason Ballard. Jason, J-A-S-O-N, Ballard, B-E-L-L-A-R-D, Jason Ballard. And the song is entitled, Woe to You, Fat Shepherds. Woe to you, fat shepherds. Here's the song.
Too many men write books about things they don't know. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they sell it so. When no one's searching for the truth, no one to show themselves approved, they'd rather gain the world and forfeit their own soul. They guarantee a life of wealth and luxury, and claim that this is a living life abundantly. So many lonely hearts then sow their seeds to idols made of pride and greed, and perish every second without hope. Woe to you, fat shepherds, all of you fat shepherds, who feed yourself and leave my sheep to starve alone. Woe to you, fat shepherds, all of you fat shepherds. Thank you. but they haven't a clue yet what this cup holds. God's holy burning anger, his hatred for their deeds. They pride themselves as men of high esteem. They've never heard a word but vanity.
And there you have it. And the song ends by saying, I never knew you all along. And that's referring to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, many on that day shall tell me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles? Didn't we cast out demons? And he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The song, again, the title of the song is, Woe to You, Fat Shepherds by Jason Ballard, B-E-L-L-A-R-D, Jason Ballard. The song is really a sermon, and it captures Ezekiel 34 and its entirety. God bless you, Brother Jason, and thank you to my sister who sent me that. Didn't know about the song, but now I will be listening to it frequently because it is one of those songs that reminds us, those of us who are in the ministry, what great responsibility we have to rightly divide the word of truth, what great responsibility we have to lead the people and point them always to the Lamb of God who takes away their sins, who transforms them, who watches over them. What a great responsibility we have. Because as Paul said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to render an account of what was done in the flesh, whether it be good or evil. Now, if that verse doesn't scare you, because it scares me. To think that I will stand before my Lord one day to give an account, not just of the good, but also of the evil. Ministers tend to think that, oh, Jesus is only going to talk about the good. No. Read the text. We shall render an account for what we did in the flesh, whether it be good or evil. Having those scriptures before us, let us walk circumspectly, knowing that the Lord is writing down everything we do and even everything we say. Now, we've been looking at that text in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Peter 2, 3. And in 2 Peter 2, 3, which is our key text, it reads like this in the Living Bible. These teachers, talking about itinerant teachers, not pastors. We're moving now from pastors, which are local church fleecers who run fleecer trees. That's another word that Dr. Coles coined. Dr. Coles coined the word fleecer tree. And most ministries are not ministries. They don't serve anybody. They're fleecer trees. So, Peter says, concerning itinerant false teachers who make their rounds, he says this. In the Living Bible, it reads, these teachers, in their greed, will tell you anything to get a hold of your money. The New Century Version reads, those teachers only want your money, so they will use you by telling you lies. The New Revised Version reads like this, and in their greed, they will exploit you with deceptive words. The New International Version reads like this, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. The New American Bible reads like this, in their greed, they will exploit you with fabrications. The Amplified says, in their covetousness, lust and greed, they will exploit you with cunning false arguments. The J.B. Phillips Modern English Translation reads like this, in their lust to make converts, these men will try to exploit you too with bogus arguments. The Jerusalem Bible reads like this, they will eagerly try to buy you for themselves with insidious speeches. The New English Bible says this, in their greed for money, they will trade on your credulity with sheer fabrication. Now, the King James uses the word, they will make merchandise of you. That Greek word for merchandise is en poreomai, and the en prefix means in, and poreomai means to travel about and to trade. The Greek language is a very picturesque language. It gives you word pictures, and basically what the word basic really means is that these people will try to find a way to get in your company in order to do trade with you, in order to do exchanges with you, in order to do business with you. These are these false teachers. So by some means, by some way, by somehow, they want to get in your presence. Once they get in your presence, then they want to get into your head. Once they get into your head, they want to pull on your heartstrings. And once they're pulling on your heartstrings, then they're going to go for the big enchilada, which is the purse strings. And they will lie to you. Now, here's some audio. And this is Juanita Bynum, the has-been. She recently showed up at the Daystar Network because Marcus Lamb is a pimp and Juanita Bynum is a prostitute. Like most people who go on the Daystar Network, Marcus Lamb is looking for people who will prostitute themselves for the almighty dollar. And the way this works, folks, is this way. You go on the Daystar Network, and Marcus Lamb will give you the mic. And during your time, the people that call in, you get a percentage. You get a cut of the people that call while you're getting them to give. You're on the clock, and they time you. And if you get an hour, it's your job to tell these people stories so that during your period they give. And based on those calls, then you get a percentage of the hustle. So here's Juanita Bynum, who showed up there at the Daystar Network with orange hair. She looks like Bozo the Clown. Here is Juanita Bynum. As the NIV says, look what the NIV says again. It says, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have what? Made up. Well, here's been Juanita Bynum with a bunch of stories.
He gave me 33 people that would do 133 over a 12-month period. Go to the phone right now, because the Lord said, from tonight on, for the next 12 months, when you activate this, you're going to see a perpetual return. The lady that sold that $15,000, she said several years ago, you preached at a conference, and you said prophetically, there's one person in here that God is going to give, called to give $10,000. She said, I gave it. She said, and it was a down payment on the house. She said, I want you to know something, Dr. Bynum. God caused a man to knock $90,000 off the house. She said, the same house, it's paid off. And God blessed me with my own dentistry practice because of that one scene. No, why you trying to save and pick it out? God's already got an open door. Look and behold, there is an open door. Standing open for those that would activate. He said, 33 dollars. For 33 people. He said 133 for 33 people. 533 for 33 people. And 1,033 for 33 people. And God said for me to tell you now, he's activating something with your name on it. And he's calling you into your grave. And those of you that God is talking to about that $1,000 seat, if I be a woman of God, I know what God is going to do. I done been through too much to lie to anybody about money and anything else. I'm not giving y'all. This oil cost me something, and it's too expensive to waste on con games and lies. I'm not giving y'all talk to me.
Now, she said that the oil that she has cost her something, and she's talking about the anointing. Well, remember, it was Simon Magus. If you read Acts chapter 8, Simon Magus tried to pay Peter and John for the anointing. And Peter said to Simon Magus, thy money perish with thee. So when Juanita Bynum says, this oil costs me too much, it cost, no. If anyone really has the power of God, the anointing of God, it didn't cost them anything, because according to Ephesians chapter 4, all the graces God gives us are free. So it didn't cost her anything. Nobody pays God for any anointing. That's not of God. The anointing, the oil she claims to have, spiritual oil that she claims to be to running under the power of, she says, it cost me too much. Well, Maybe if you're Simon Magus, and maybe if you found a false bishop to pay that anointing for, then yeah, maybe it cost you something with him, but it wouldn't cost you anything with God, because the anointings of God, remember, Ephesians 4 says, and let me read that to you. Let me read that, because I don't want to misquote it. Ephesians chapter 4, open your Bible, saints. Let's go to Ephesians 4. And it says in Ephesians 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace. Grace there is charis, or anointing. But unto every one of us is given grace, a charis, a power, according to the measure of the what? Of the gift of Christ. So it's a gift. You didn't pay for it. You didn't earn it. It didn't cost you anything. Christ gave it to you. So let's listen to this liar again. Let's listen intently to what this liar is saying. And look specifically for when she says, this oil cost me something.
He said 133 for 33 people. 533 for 33 people. And 1,033 for 33 people. And God said for me to tell you now, he's activating something with your name on it. And he's calling you into your grave. And those of you that God is talking to about that $1,000 seed, if I be a woman of God, I know what God is going to do. I done been through too much to lie to anybody about money and anything else. I'm not giving y'all. This oil cost me something. And it's
this oil cost me something. It didn't cost you anything. If you're a true minister of Christ, which you are not, according to Ephesians 4:7, the oil, the anointing, the power of God that rests upon every true preacher is a gift from Christ. It costs you nothing. Nothing.
And he's calling you into your grave. And those of you that God is talking to about that $1,000 seed, if I be a woman of God, I know what God is going to do. I done been through too much to lie to anybody about money and anything else. I'm not giving y'all. This oil cost me something. And it's too expensive to waste on con games and lies. I'm not giving y'all. Talk to me. And
but you are. You are. All you're talking is about con games and lies. Because God's not looking. Think about it. She mentioned five levels of giving. She mentioned five levels of giving. And for each level, there's 1,000 people out there. There's 1,000 people who are going to give $33. And then for the 133, there's 1,000 people out there. So she mentioned, and there's only, for each level, there's 1,000. Well, after five levels, you only have 5,000 people whom the Lord wants to bless. What happened to the rest of us? I mean, 5,000, only 5,000 Christians are going to get blessed with her sermon. Then the rest of us might as well turn it off, because it's not for us. It's only for 5,000. You see, folks, the Bible says that when God blesses, he blesses the entire flock. God is not out to bless just 5,000. But we know that she's running. That's a money scam. So when she says this is not a scam, this is not. We know it is the complete opposite. We know it's everything. It's everything dealing with a scam.
Woman of God, I know what God is going to do. I done been through too much to lie to anybody about money and anything else. I'm not giving y'all. This oil cost me something, and it's too expensive to waste on con games and lies. I'm not giving y'all. Talk to me. And manipulation. You don't have to manipulate the righteous, because the Bible said they are able to hear the still small voice. The book of Acts says you have been chosen to hear from God. You have been chosen. The phone number is 1-800-329-0029. That's the bottom. I'm one of those people that God is calling to give that $1,000. I've got to activate my business.
Now notice how she doesn't emphasize all the other levels. She's really emphasizing the $1,000 level. She's really emphasizing the $1,000 level.
It is 33 business owners. I hear the Lord talking to you. I promise you, God is going to activate this thing. 32 business owners. There are people right now that you are in debt. The Lord said 533. It's breaking debt. I know what I hear the Lord saying. Credit card debt. You can't seem to untangle yourself. The spirit of Leviathan has locked your life up, which is a spirit of twining and confusion, where you can never unravel yourself out of this thing. God said, yes, you're saying, I can't afford it. But the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, you can't afford not to. I couldn't afford to give that, but I could not afford not to. Why? Because God was trying to prove to me, I am your son.
He's talking about credit card debt. Well, here I have a little clip. Here's a little clip from Juanita Bynum. Because she says, if you give this money, God will break the spirit of debt. Well, here's a clip from Juanita Bynum. She's visiting a gay church. She's visiting an ordination. You're saying, well, what is visiting a gay church and an ordination of a gay minister? What does that have to do with money? And, well, it has a lot to do, because Juanita Bynum confesses here that when she was when her stuff was being repossessed, her cars and her homes and all that, it was this church who came to her rescue, and that's why she's visiting them during this gay ordination, because when she was about to lose everything, this church, well, I thought if you give $1,000, God will cancel debt. It's a debt cancellation offering. It didn't work for Juanita. Here's Juanita Bynum in her own words. Here it is. Listen to this confession.
The roughest season of my life. And you really didn't even know me that well. I would have lost everything I had it not been for you.
You hear that? She would have lost everything she had. Why? Because the repo men were coming to take all her stuff, her houses, her cars, everything. Everything. They were coming to get, because she became delinquent in her obligations. They were coming to get the repo man. Was so when she says, give this $1,000 and you'll have debt cancellation, I see the spirit of Leviathan wrapped around your finances. Well, it didn't work for Juanita Bynum, because this gay church had to come to her rescue with monies.
When I was going through the roughest season of my life, because I could not be here, because when I was going through the roughest season of my life, and you really didn't even know me that well, I would have lost everything I had it not been for you. Had you not got on the phone and talked to everybody that was suing me, every bill collector, you kept my parents from being sent outside. There is no words to express my love for you. And you really didn't even know me that well. I would have lost everything I had it not been for you. Had you not got on the phone and talked to everybody that was suing me, every bill collector, you kept my parents from being sent outside. There is no words to express my love for you and what you did for me and my family. You saved my life. You saved things that I have worked for 25 years to build, things that I have worked for 25 years to build. You wouldn't let them take my cars, I know there were some days you probably had to pull some words out of the special box, what we call the special box, the custom box,
There you have it. So she gets on television and she says she's at the Daystar Network and she's telling people that if they give $1,000, God will cancel their debt. Well, it didn't work for her. If this gay church hadn't come to her rescue and talked to people and pay bills for her, she says, my parents would have been out on the street. They would have, the marshals would have came in and just threw them and the junk out on the street. But yet she gets on Daystar Network and she tells you that if you're a business owner and if you give this $1,000, the Lord will give you debt cancellation. Well, she's the prophetess of debt cancellation, and I just gave you audio that it never worked for her. It never worked for her. But like the NIV says about these itinerant preachers, what does the NIV say? In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Debt cancellation, that if you give a debt cancellation offering, you're just going to be in more debt. These are stories these people make up.
Every bill collector. But I wanted to say that to everybody in this place that I could not be here because when I was going through the roughest season of my life and you really didn't even know me that well, I would have lost everything I had it not been. Had you not got on the phone and talked to everybody that was suing me, every bill collector, you kept my parents from being sent outside. There is no words to express my love for you and what you did for me and my family. You saved my life. Saved things that I have worked for 25 years to build. You wouldn't let them take my cars, I know there were some days you probably had to pull some words out of the special box, what we call the special box,
And yet, this is her. This is her on the Daystar Network.
Business owners, there are people right now that you are in debt. The Lord said 5:33. It's breaking debt. I know what I hear the Lord saying. Credit card debt. You can't seem to untangle yourself. The spirit of Leviathan has locked your life up, which is a spirit of grinding and confusion where you can never unravel yourself out of this thing. God said, yes, you're saying, I can't afford it, but the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, you can't afford not to. I couldn't afford to give that, but I could not afford not to. Why? Because God was trying to prove to me, I am your son.
No, God wasn't your source. The gay church was your source. You said the gay church saved you. You saved me. God wasn't your source. The gay church. That's the beauty, you know, of audio and video. Juanita Bynum didn't know that this audio of her at the gay church was going to show up. She didn't know it was going to go viral. And when you do your research, you can find stuff. So, no. God wasn't your source, unless God is gay. Unless your God is the gay God. Because not Jehovah, not the God of Scripture, not Yahweh. No. Not Elohim. No. God's not your source. God is not your source. Church was your, they saved you. And that's why the person who put the video up on YouTube kept repeating that thing about they saved you. Here it is again.
Had you not got on the phone and talked to everybody that was suing you, every bill collector, you kept my parents from being sent outside. There is no words to express my love for you and what you did for me and my family. You saved my life.
They saved her. A gay church saved her life, not the Lord Jesus, not the God who said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," saith the Lord, not that God, but they saved her life. They saved her life.
Everybody that was suing me, every bill collector, you kept my parents from being sent outside. There is no words to express my love for you and what you did for me and my family. You saved my life. You saved my life.
That's the bottom of one of those people that God is calling to give that $1,000. I've got to activate my business. He said it is 33 business owners. I hear the Lord talking to you. I promise you God is going to activate this thing. 32 business owners. There are people right now that you are in debt. The Lord said 533. It's breaking debt. I know what I hear the Lord saying. Credit card debt. You can't seem to untangle yourself. The spirit of Leviathan has locked your life up, which is a spirit of twining and confusion where you can never unravel yourself out of this thing. God said, yes, you're saying, I can't afford it, but the Holy Ghost has told me to tell you, you can't afford not to. I couldn't afford to give that, but I could not afford not to. Why? Because God was trying to prove to me, I am your son.
God is not your source. He was never your source. Hustle was your source. Prostitution was your source. You're prostituting yourself for dollars. And Marcus Lamb ought to be ashamed of himself having a prophetess who cavorts in a gay church. Marcus Lamb is having a woman who goes to gay churches now on Daystar. Why? He doesn't care. He's a pimp. Marcus Lamb doesn't. He's a pimp. He has a bordello full of prostitutes. Every time you watch one of those share-a-thons, Marcus Lamb, the pimp, has he's got his stable. He's got his team of prostitutes scheduled for the day. Men and women who will say, the Lord told me, I just heard from the Holy Ghost, this is God. People who will prostitute themselves. Like Juanita Bynum. And she's asking you to do something that never worked for her. It never worked for her. And it won't work for anybody because God is not in the seed sowing business. God is not after your money.
Activation time. Sunday is with Rosh Hashanah. It is not by chance that we are up on the holy days. It is not by chance that we're coming upon the new year and now for the next 12 months. Your finances, your life is getting ready to enter into a whole other era. Your new year is starting now. It's not starting December the 31st. Activation, and it's an eternal thing that that word is going to keep on working. The Bible said that the Lord will remember all of your offerings. Do you know what this is about? Do you know what this is about? It makes my stomach turn. It makes my stomach turn, man of God, when I hear Christians, using these words, I can't afford that. It makes my stomach turn because we are no longer faith people. We're no longer faith people. We're no longer people that says I'm going to faint it in. When somebody said, well, what's up? I said, you know what? Let's faint it in. Then let's say, come on, let's connect, because that's the way Christians talk. We're supposed to faint it in. Touch your neighbor and say, you're going to faint in what you need.
But when Juanita Bynum didn't faith in what she needed, the gay church helped her. She didn't faith it in. Juanita Bynum didn't activate God. She didn't. No. She couldn't even use her credit cards. Her credit cards were being declined. They were coming to repo her cars. The marshals were going to evict her parents and throw them out on their fanny. Juanita Bynum didn't faith it in. No, she didn't go to the Heavenly Father. She went to a gay church. The gay church bailed her out. The gay church, and why? Well, they want Juanita Bynum to tell people how wonderful they are. See, they don't do something for nothing. So now Juanita Bynum is pimping herself and telling the people, oh, that's a wonderful gay church. And that's how people start becoming desensitized and start accepting gay brethren in the church. Because the people like Juanita Bynum and T.D. Jakes will soon, I predict he soon will start now saying, let's calm down with gay people and let's just let them sit in here. And that's how it starts. Let them sit in here, let them hear the word of the Lord, and before you know it, he'll be ordained and she'll be elevated, and that's how it starts. Here's the Holy Ghost saying, tonight is debt cancellation. Well, that's not how she got rid of her mess. And no one is gonna get their debts canceled by giving an offering. That's what the NIV says. They make up stories in order to get to your money. They'll spin a yarn, they'll spin a tall tale in order to get your money. So here's the prostitute, Juanita Bynum, and her pimp is Marcus Lamb.
Because something is being activated. We're doing it the Jesus way. I'm not here to know this.
Jesus never did it that way. Jesus never told people to, you know what Jesus told people? You know how you cancel your debt? Go to work. That's how you cancel your debt. You go to work. That's how you cancel your debt. You go to work, make the money, and you pay off your bills. That's how you cancel debt. There's no magical debt cancellation. That doesn't exist. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. But yet the Holy Ghost is talking. The same Holy Ghost who inspired the Bible. Now, that same Holy Ghost who inspired the Holy Bible. Remember, it's not just the Bible, it is the Holy Bible. Don't miss the adjective holy. It is the Holy Bible. Now she says that the same God who inspired the Holy Bible, who never included debt cancellation in his Holy Bible, is now whispering to her that this is how you're going to get your debt canceled. Meanwhile, we know the deal. We know the deal that she never got her debt canceled, that people had to come and bail her out. People had to come and pay those bills. People had to go with those creditors and work out an agreement so that she can keep her stuff. There's no magical debt cancellation.
Ain't no praise about it. Ain't no share about it. This ain't none of that. It's God giving you a gift of opportunity to get your life reactivated and to bind the spirit of the enemy over your life and to pull you out of mental manipulation and con games about your life. It is God giving you a gift of opportunity to say enough is enough. I'm getting ready to go back to believing the Jesus way. Somebody give God a shout.
That's not the Jesus way. Paul went to work. Paul was a tent maker. Paul was a tent maker. And Paul didn't get, in fact, Paul warns against debt. The Bible warns about getting into debt. If you listen to the Spirit of God will tell you don't get into debt. The person who takes on debt becomes a slave to him who does what? Who grants the debt.
Daystar.com. It's easy for you to get that right. It's 106 people going to that app. Go to that website. Go. Well, we got to go back to the Jesus way, y'all. What's the matter with us? What's the matter with us? What's the matter with us? What's the matter? Our name is believers. When we walk around here by acting like somebody crazy, our name is believers. Who am I talking to? Oh, God. Are you hearing God? Come on, ask yourself, where would I be right now had I not believed? Oh, come on, ask yourself that. Where would you be right now? Where would you be right now? Where would you? I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how weak you think you are tonight. But where would you be tonight had you not believed?
Well, what do I hear right now? I hear a clown. And the clown's name is Juanita Bynum. Well, saints, we're going to continue with this series tomorrow. On the first day, we presented Benny Hinn. Today, we presented Juanita Bynum. And tomorrow, we'll have someone new. So tune in tomorrow. Love you in Jesus. Stay safe. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Love you in Jesus' name.